just keep going on. I'm building bridges straight to your
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Evan Bray Show. As I see the Royals are making their way through a farmer's market in Ottawa right now. We've got King Charles and Queen Consort Camilla in Canada. Of course, King Charles giving the throne speech tomorrow in the legislature, in the House. That will be happening at 9, and we are carrying it live right here tomorrow morning. But today they've got a number of events planned throughout Ottawa. And he's making his way through a farmer's market, speaking with vendors, taking a look at corn or whatever it is that they're selling. He's actually also going to be dropping the hockey puck at a road hockey game. I saw a number of young hockey players standing there in jerseys moments ago. So between the Royals, the Prime Minister, Mark Carney, is there with his wife as well, the Governor General. So it's quite a contingent of people through throngs of people. There are a lot of spectators there, a lot of people, of course, hoping to meet the Royals, shake hands perhaps with the King, but nonetheless, it's busy in downtown Ottawa there today. Well, if you think about what you wanted to be when you were growing up, you had that vision, you were inspired for whatever reason, whatever it was, could have been doctor, could have been, for me, it was police officer. So you start doing a little bit of research, you think about, you know, what type of education do I need to do this job? And in many cases, there's specific education you can take, certainly post-secondary, to help get you ready for the career. What if the career you want is a politician, like a city councilor or a mayor? I mean, more and more, I would suggest you could take some sort of political science classes that might help lead you into that. But it's not quite as distinct as some of these other professions. My next guest is here to shed some light on what it's like doing that job, what he learned doing that job. And he's not only got life experience, but he's put it together between a couple of pieces of paper here. He's got a new book out called Building Bridges. Former Saskatoon Mayor Don Acheson is my next guest. He was mayor, by the way, from 2003 to 2016. Longest serving mayor in Saskatoon city history, 13 years, Don Acheson, joining me in studio. Mayor Acheson, thank you for being here.
Good morning, Evan. I guess it's good afternoon now.
I can't not call you mayor. For so many years, I would be at a different events. You were one of those guys that is all over the place. You used to love going to different events. Mayor Acheson, that was your handle, and I'm sure you get called that on the street to still today.
I still do. But, you know, going to all those events was absolutely critical. I think that the mayor has several roles to play. One of them is on the public relations sides for the city itself. Sure. To talk about how great your community is, what you're doing. I would often be told, why do you go to such small groups sometimes? You just need to go to large groups. And I would say it's the small groups that really need the mayor to come to help support them.
Yeah.
And tell them what a great job that they're doing in our community. And so that was the reason I did all those events all the time.
Well, you were good at it for sure. And I know I many times would bump into you at different events. So this book, I was just reading on the back cover of it here. You talk about what I was saying in my opening comments, people that aspire to be a carpenter, a doctor, a farmer, it's not hard to get information on those jobs and maybe even take specialized training. What did you want to be when you were growing up? Was it always politician?
I had no idea that I wanted to be a politician. I wanted to be an NHL goaltender is what I aspired to be.
And you needed a backup plan. That's what you're saying.
Not exactly. I always say the good Lord works in strange and mysterious ways. And in my case, that's what happened. I just let things go as they may. And that's where you end up. The reason I end up in politics, and if people see Mardell on the street or are talking to her, she's the one that they can blame, because it was back in 1994 that we were watching the CTV news at that time. And what transpired was it was 2 days till nominations close for the city's council. And Mardell turned to me and she says, I think you should run for city council. You do a good job. And so consequently, I told my parents I was planning on running, and my dad was less than enthusiastic. My mom said, "What took you so long? You should have been doing this years ago." Put my application in, nomination forms in, and away it went from there.
So what do you think it was, Don, about you that your wife felt would be a good fit for civic politics?
Well, you'd actually have to talk to her about that. But having five children, being in the menswear industry, being in retail for most of my life as well, being involved in sports, I guess she could see something there that she thought would be great for the city of Saskatoon. And consequently, I ran. That year as well, we'd had a labor disruption. And when I ran for council, I said, we need to start running our city like a business. We're not a charity. And that's what I ran on as a business person. And I was very fortunate to win.
So I'm curious to know, what were some misconceptions that you had in your own mind of what it was going to be like getting into city politics, becoming a city councillor? And when you actually got in there, was it a steep learning curve?
To a certain degree, it certainly was. I thought when you were elected that you wanted to get on and start doing great things and keep the momentum moving forward all the time. And one of the counselors, I won't mention their name, leaned over to me and they said, "That's not how things work here. We don't do anything until we're absolutely forced into doing it. That way they don't care if we made a good decision or a bad decision." And I went, wow. And if you really think about it, in a lot of cases, that's what transpires.
Well, it's interesting, and we saw you make the transition from city councillor to mayor. What was that like? You know, you for a number of terms were as part of city council, as a council member. Stepping into that mayor's role, was it a big adjustment, or were you ready when you made that step?
Well, what happened was I got involved in most of the committees, including audit, the finance committees, all the different committees all the time. I wanted to learn how the city actually functioned and ran. I wasn't interested in just showing up for the meetings and voting. I wanted to know the inner workings of the city itself and how the administration actually made decisions or recommendations to the committees and then to council itself. Mm-hmm. So I found that very interesting. So when I got there, I believed I was relatively well prepared. What I wasn't prepared for, though, at the end of the day, were the death threats that we received on numerous occasions.
Really?
Yes.
That is disappointing to hear. I mean, I wanted to get into talking about how politics has changed, but clearly there was still those types of angry citizens that you were dealing with then.
Very much so. A matter of fact, the very first time it happened was on November the 11th of 2003. A fellow came up to me and said, "I'm going to kill you. You won't see me. I'm an expert marksman, and I'm going to shoot you from a far distance, and you'll never know that it was me."
Gosh.
And I looked down, and the fellow had the flashings on for a marksman. So I said to Mardell that, it's in the book. I said, "We got to get out of here." He says, "Well, I'm enjoying myself. I really," and I said, "We're leaving right now." And, Deputy Chief Wicks, I got a hold of him immediately and he told us to get to a safe public place. So we went over to the then called Station Restaurant and we waited for Deputy Chief Wicks to come and we went through things from there.
Gosh, sorry to hear you're dealing with that, but you know, we talk often on this show about radicalization of people. And we also talk about people who struggle with mental illness as well. And yeah, any of those things can come into play. So on this book that
yes,
you've written, it's a great book. It's a great read. What inspired you? I've listened to you talk many times about being a good leader, being a good community leader, those types of things. But what inspired you to put pen to paper and actually write the book?
I think one of the reasons was a lot of people get involved in politics, civic politics, and have no idea what they're getting into. I think it's true in provincial and federal politics. And I just, if you wish to say, wanted to peel the onion back just a little bit so people could understand what they're getting into. It wasn't to discourage people by any stretch of the imagination. It was so that when they got involved, they understood what they're getting into as well, mm-hmm, that they could have those discussions with their family before they get started. and they could move forward at that point.
This book actually, sorry, I was just going to jump in, Don. Yeah. This book actually does a good job of highlighting some of the development, the history of development in the city as well.
It does, and that's an important part. Maybe there'll be a book too. Who knows? Jeannie Martinson from Wood Dragon, she was absolutely fantastic. I had phoned several publishers, and they told me they wanted $5,000 or $10,000 to read the book. Others said they weren't interested in reading it at all. And some would say, well, if we do this, our fees are going to be anywhere from $20,000 to $50,000. Mm. I went, wow, I don't have those type of dollars. And I ran into Jeannie Martinson through Jay Semko, who had written a book on poetry. And that's how we met. And she's been absolutely fabulous to work with. I don't know if she says that about me, but she's certainly been fabulous.
That's
okay?
So good. That's so good. Don Acheson is my guest, former mayor of Saskatoon, author of a new book. It's called Building Bridges, which is a great read. So you wrote this book, as you said, partly for people thinking about running for office. What do you think the first thing they should ask themselves is before they decide on whether they're going to run?
I think the very first thing they should do is talk to their spouse or partner about what they think about it. It shouldn't come as a surprise to them at the end. I think that's exceedingly important. And the other thing is that they need to get used to families. And in our case, our children and Mardell took a lot of abuse along the way, all the time. And I think people need to understand that. I think regardless of the parties that you believe in, federally or provincially or the politicians locally, they all truly believe that they're doing what's best for their community. You may not agree with them, but to verbally assault the family members is, I think, uncalled for. And in our case, our family was terribly pained along the way, especially from some of the written articles in the media that, in fact, were not truthful at all, would only tell half the truth. Mm-hmm. So is it half a truth or half a lie along the way as well? Mm-hmm. And I think people need to understand these things. I was brought up being a goaltender, so when the red light went on, it was naturally my fault. When I refereed, you never could satisfy the fans. When you coached, sometimes you put the wrong players out according to the fans. And so consequently, being in retail as well, trying to satisfy people. So I just have to tell you this quickly. Usually at the first meeting for some of the counselors, they'd receive a phone call, and it was like the sky had fallen. They never expected that people would phone them at their homes or phone them at their offices and complain about something that they wanted fixed. They never anticipated any of this at all. And it was quite eye-opening for them. And for me, it was kind of like waters off a duck's back. You have a concern that we need to deal with. Let's get the facts and let's move forward from there. Mm-hmm. So it was very interesting for me.
Very good. We're almost at the end of our time here, Don.
Sure.
I'm curious, as a former leader of the city and doing it for as long as you did, you pay close attention to what's going on in the city of Saskatoon. What advice would you give if council was asking you today for advice over the next, let's say, 5 to 10 years, what advice would you give them?
Well, first of all, I don't think they'll give me any advice, and the advice I give is free, and they say that free advice usually isn't worth much. but I would say to you that, in fact, not to be worried about the next election. You have to do what you believe is best for the next generation, and you need to plan ahead like that. When we did Circle Drive South Bridge, it was 100 years in the making from the start of the conception of the idea to completion. River Landing was about 60 years in the making as well to get that done. And that, yes, there's going to be a lot of negative comments along the way. But if you truly believe what you're doing is best for the community, that's what you're elected to do.
Right.
Not to get elected the next time.
Right.
And yes, I was the mayor for 13 years and a counselor for 9 years, but I always did what I believed was best for the city, not what was best for Don Acheson, the politician.
Great advice, Don. I appreciate you giving us some time today. Good luck with the book.
Thanks ever so much. Really appreciate it. It's Building Bridges.
Don Acheson, former mayor of Saskatoon, author of Building Bridges, which is available now. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.